Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I really thought the difference in the second half was we just didn't rebound. We got some defensive stops and got in position, and we even had position where we had the ball and didn't get the ball. And the 16-rebound differential was the difference in the game. They got too many second efforts, and that's where you foul. In those situations, we played the bigger lineup. I thought that was good for us in the first half, and we rebounded better. The second half, we just didn't. And they had a smaller lineup out there, and we just didn't get the ball.
Jim, did Elijah Hughes' fouls early take him out of the flow?
I don't know. He allowed himself to be taken out. When he got back in, the first time he did nothing, and then he just showed nothing. You know, he was not. You know, he still cannot make plays off the dribble, and you have to do that when you're being guarded that closely. And he just didn't do that. We're not getting any penetration from our guards making plays. O'Shea made the best plays today of anybody. And, you know, Tyus and Frank are averaging like about one assist apiece in these losses. And, you know, we need them to be able to get in there, and if they don't score, make a play. And you know, they're veteran guys. We need them to play better.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please subscribe. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. So, well, the Orange with another second half collapse. They got outscored 43-24 in the second half by Clemson after leading in the first. Syracuse falls to 19-12 overall, 10-8 in ACC play. And just like that, the regular season is over. And all we can do now is go ahead and look ahead to the ACC tournament and hope that we can make a little noise in these next two tournaments coming up. We'll wrap up the show with a look at the ACC tournament. But first, get your 5% off of any ticket anywhere. The ACC tournament's in Charlotte. You need tickets? Go to Tix Blitz. Tix Blitz is the official ticket provider for the Armchair Media Network. And unlike other ticketing providers that sneak in all the extra fees and unexplained service charges, at Tix Blitz, the price you see is the price you pay. Unnecessary fees should not prevent you from seeing the sporting event or concert of your choosing. So go to TixBlitz.com. Enter the promo code Armchair at checkout and receive 5% off your total ticket purchase. That's TixBlitz.com. Promo code Armchair. Tix Blitz. Guaranteed seats. Guaranteed emotions. So, Monday night or Tuesday, we're going to be dropping another Q-Story episode, special episode that we already recorded. So, we tried to keep it as short as possible. So,
we did?
We did. Yes, you were there. Well, you were there.
No.
You should know, too, because you're the reason it went long.
What?
But anyway,
preposterous.
Oh my God, this guy. I'm like, let's keep it around 30, 35 minutes. I think we can do it. Hour later,
stop.
But
such an over-exaggerator.
But that'll come out Tuesday. It was fun to do. It's kind of long. I think it's like 50-something minutes. But anyway, it's not terrible.
Well,
so
you know,
be on the lookout for
the
that.
Of course, when you talked about a 6 overtime game.
That's right. So. Well, let's get right into this here. You know, another flat second half I mentioned of offense for Syracuse. It doesn't mean they were leading at the half again by 7. and then over 10 minutes without scoring in the second half. Clemson went on a 14-0 run, and that would be it for the Orange pretty much. For whatever reason, it takes an act of Congress to get all these veteran players playing up to their potential at the same time. It's always one guy standout. You don't have these two guys standout games, three guys standout games out of these veterans. It's just so frustrating. I mean, Brissett, who's been on the struggle bus the past few games, he actually led the Orange in scoring with 15. He had 7 rebounds. He was 5-for-5 from the line. I mean, you know, where's this been all year? It's like, what the freak is going on? Buddy Boeheim followed up Brissett with 11 points, but he was only 2-for-7 from deep. Battle struggles continued. He went 3-for-11 from the field, 3-from-6 for the line, and he only got 10 points. Battle has scored just 21 points, 8 of 30. That's 26.7% in the last two games. Hughes was a non-factor. He had a big goose egg in the box score. He got in foul trouble early. I think he only played like 11 minutes. He got up only 2 shots, and in this 5-game stretch where he scored double figures comes to an end against Clemson. The Orange, decent from the line, 13-17, 76.5%, 37.5% from the field, and 31.6% from distance. Syracuse is not a good rebounding team, may have been an understatement in this game. We got killed on the boards, 45-30. Visible frustration across the board from the Syracuse team, the bench, the players, the coaches. And you have to wonder, Joe, at this point, you know, it's late. Are they all of a sudden going to turn it on late? Can they turn it on late? I mean, what's going on? And we finished regular season. Now it's win and go home. You know, Syracuse is looking right now, if they play like this, they're looking at 2 more games. They're looking at 2 more games.
You can, you could say that. I think,
Side note. Howard, by the way, in the last 5 games, is shooting 28.2%, 11-39. I mean, stuff like that, it's not going to get it done. And then you got you got Brissett finally stepping up. There's never a consistency with the veteran players on the floor. They can't all be clicking at the same time. It's always one guy and then everybody else struggles. If we get the one guy. You know what I'm saying?
And then, we obviously, our offense, we've struggled. In this second half, you saw it worse than I've seen it in a little while. Just running into each other. People they were bringing their defenders into where people were trying to go, and their spacing was awful. And again, you talked about the assists. It's just teams when they D up like that. Clemson is, I think they had the 3rd rated defense in the ACC going into that game. So they are a formidable defense. And again, we talked about all the things coming in up to this game that was going to give, you know, Clemson motivation to do what they did yesterday.
Right. They had motivation from senior day. They needed to win.
Senior day revenge. They needed to win. Yes. I don't think that they thought that they played good when they came into the dome earlier in the year. And Marquise Reed, I think, was just only his 2nd or 3rd game back from a sprained knee where he missed a bunch of games. And I don't think he felt that he played that good. And I think he redeemed himself yesterday for sure.
He started slow too and still overcame that.
Right. And again, when you look at these teams, they'll just by the numbers next to their name, and sometimes some people don't delve into how close this could be completely different with the wins that Clemson could have pulled off, like we talked about in the pregame. 3 out of their 4 last losses, it was combined, I think, by 4 points. So, I mean, they lost a buzzer beater earlier.
One of those being UNC, too. They almost beat UNC at home.
Right. They had two 1-point games. Then they lost to UNC by 2. They lost to North Carolina State earlier in these years with a buzzer beater. They're ranked ahead of us in a lot of the, you know, net and KenPom and stuff like that. So they're not that bad of a team. It's just because of those couple losses and maybe not a signature win, they find themselves closer to the bubble than we do. So therefore it looks like it was a game we should have taken. But I mean, even Vegas had us as a 5-point underdog. I forgot to do the my bookie pick. So, I mean, I think more or less we talked about it. We talked about how this was a quad 1 game for us and that losing this game wasn't going to kill us. I think the most important thing really is, like you said, just the way that we looked and the way that the team played.
Battling
some people
coach,
just didn't look into it. And then, of course, the way the battle falls at the end of the game.
Right.
That's really the most important thing because you know that
we
go as battle goes. So,
I mean, they're probably not going to do much of anything without battle. If he's got, you know, if he did something to his back where he can't play, then, I mean,
right.
It's going to be even, you know, that much more tough. And how about Battle's body language, though, on the bench and walking away from coach? And we haven't really seen that out of Battle. I mean, he did turn around and face him and talk. It looked cordial, but he was frustrated, man.
Oh, yeah.
He was frustrated.
Yeah. And what was not to be frustrated about? I mean, he was getting beat up by David Skara. And here's a guy that, you know, almost left and went to the NBA last year. And they're talking about it being a no-brainer, and at least I've thought of it. And he's had some couple bad games here where he hasn't been able to make a lot of the shots that he's done in the past. And I mean, there's probably a lot of things coming out of the frustration, especially like what we talked about is that he sees – I mean, the end is near. He likes college basketball. He likes Syracuse. He likes his teammates. He wants to make a run.
Yeah.
And – he sees the light at the end of the tunnel, and that can be frustrating.
And the body language told me watching on TV that he wasn't mad at coach. He's just frustrated. I think Coach Boeheim was trying to talk to him to try to calm him down and get him focused again.
Right.
That's more along the lines of what I thought it was. By the way, I didn't think it was anything internal. But it just
it looks bad on TV. But again, I think they're both obviously. I mean, Tyus Battle is mature enough to handle the situation. Again, I think it was just a personal frustration and, you know, maybe coach saying something that might have just irked him at the time. And again, it's just water under the bridge. It's just a very frustrating game. I would have been frustrated too, the way that offense was playing.
Yeah. And we've seen what it's like or how Battle plays mad and how he gets the freaking red in his eyes and he plays mad. But I think it was beyond that. I think he was just pissed and frustrated, and he just, you know, couldn't do anything. And it's been, you know, it's been two games in a row, but it's been a couple. It's been, you know, down the stretch here, it's been a few games. So.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget too that he's a guy that he doesn't get a lot of calls for being a so-called one of the better players in the ACC and in the country.
Yeah.
And he, there's a lot of times I think over the whole season he's just been frustrated at how physical guys can play him and not get called for things.
Exactly. Yeah.
So a team like Clemson fighting for that, they needed that win. So Clemson was going to sit there and push the issue until the refs did something about it. And the refs let them play. And that kind of worked to their advantage. They were really physical and they got a lot of rebounds in the second half that I thought was really the game. Just the way that they could just, they were all over the place, and they were dominating the boards and second chance points, and they just seemed like they were pushing us around, and they just wanted the game more. And I think overall, when you got a team that looks like that, and Tyus Battle's looking at everybody like, we don't got it right now. You know, this isn't. I think he's more frustrated at that. Like he wanted to probably be at a certain point right now in the season, and now, like you said, getting into the point where we're going into these tournaments with one and done, and he's not liking what he sees. So.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that he's healthy. I'm hoping that
he can play. Yeah. I mean, you know, it didn't look good.
No, it didn't look good, but he got back out there. So with the technology and the medicine and the physical therapy and all that kind of stuff, that you just hope that he's tight and he's going to be tight and that you could just loosen it up and just do the right stuff throughout the week. You know, we got four or five days, right? Don't play till Wednesday. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to do some fan feedback real quick?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House, the best damn college sports fans in the nation.
All right, y'all know where to go. Go to @CuseMilitia on Facebook and Twitter. I always propose a question at the end of every game. Provoking your thoughts, leave them there, and then I will sift through them, and I'll pick about 10 of them out between Facebook and Twitter, and we'll get them on the show. But before we do all that, we're going to hear from our friends over at MyBookie. Now, if you know online betting and you're familiar with it, then you know what to expect. If you're not familiar with it, make sure you check it out and see if it's right for you. But the first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first-round upsets, or all the above, MyBookie is a perfect home for you on March Madness. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke and win a title? I hope not. Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16-seed team last year? I hope not. Can Kentucky go back to the Final Four? Who cares? I don't care about Kentucky. Can Syracuse make a run in either one of these tournaments coming up? That's what I want to know, and that's what you should bet on. Well, maybe you shouldn't, actually. If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on all the action. They have something for everyone, even you multiple bracket guys out there like Joe. MyBookie has been in business for years. The goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is they pay out fast when you win. And I'm talking about 48 hours so you can get that cash right away. Bet with the best. Then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in. Just deposit with MyBookie today and use the promo code QS25 for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code QS25 with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, so I did some quick polls yesterday, and I thought they were appropriate. And yeah. So the first one, 430 votes on it. And I guess it still has time left, but we're going to do it. It's clear. Where is Battle going to play next year was the question. And coming in at 15% at fourth, is the NBA. And, you know,
yep.
Coming in third is overseas. Or excuse me, coming in third would be Cuse, going back and playing for the Orange.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then overseas, and then... 34% think he's going to play in the G League. So, I mean, I don't know why he would want to go. Well, I don't know. I can't judge what he's thinking. I don't know why he wouldn't go if he wasn't going to be thinking he was going to be a first round pick, I guess. If you're not going for the money, why not hold out another year maybe and boost your stock, I guess is what I'm saying.
I mean, at some point, you can only do so much, and you know, your years of being able to make pretty good money playing basketball, whether it be in the NBA or whether it be overseas, is, you know, very small window. So if he's gotten to the point where he doesn't see himself progressing anymore, and he has got his degree and he's done everything that he could do at Syracuse and he's ready to move on, then even if it's going overseas and getting his career started, then so be it. And you know, there's been plenty of guys that have made great money overseas and in other leagues that weren't good enough to make it to the NBA, but still end up doing just fine for themselves. So,
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at right now. I mean, obviously, selfishly, you'd like to see him come back, but if he can't progress then past a player that's going to get drafted in the late first, early second round, a lot of these Syracuse guys that we've seen, that's what they do. They get drafted right. I mean, some get drafted earlier, but there's other guys have lately been getting drafted a little bit later. And what do? You know, they get their 2-3 years in the league, they get a chance, and then they end up going overseas or they're playing in the G League. Not too many guys lately have been sticking in the pros for Syracuse. And albeit unfortunate, I mean, that's kind of the way you got to look at it with Tyus Battle.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, I mean, I think if I don't vote on my own polls, but if I were to vote, I would say maybe overseas. I just talked about the consistency last week with the NBA. I'm not sure, man. I just don't know. I'm a bad judge at that too. So
see, well, I think I see him as somebody who will get invited to the combine again, and then he will most likely, like I said, it'll be NBA next year. It's just whether he sticks in the NBA.
Right. Okay.
He can get somebody will throw a dart and go after him and give him a chance. But it's, again, he'll have 2 or 3 years to stick.
Right.
And if not, then he'll move on to G League or overseas.
Yeah. Well, I put out the same poll for Brissett next year, and coming in last at 3%, 336 votes, 3% said the NBA. next at 11% was overseas, and in second place at 14% was the G League. An overwhelming majority of Syracuse fans on our Twitter page think at 72% that he comes back. So I think he comes back.
Yeah, I think that's the case too. If he doesn't come back, it's going to be the G League. He's not going to get drafted.
No, absolutely.
I don't mean that to say.
No, we never.
I'm not trying to be mean.
Right.
But obviously. Right now, he's proven that he's not. He hasn't really jumped. Last year, I think he probably, other than the jump shooting and the shooting and stuff, there's other things that he's gotten better at, but then there's other things that he's kind of regressed. So, again, he just kind of seems like the same kind of player, except for, the, you know, like, again, he's just not getting the double-doubles like we normally used to. He's shooting a little bit better. Like, yesterday reminded me of him of last year and the expectations we had as a freshman. He thought they were good, but then he jumped to his sophomore year and like, okay, we're expecting a jump, and I don't think we got that this year with him, and that's why, to me, he has to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's start with Twitter on the comments here. At TimGross3, this has been going on for a few years now. I think it's obvious where the problem lies. Returning all five starters in your 19 and 12, come on, Jim, it's time. It's actually past time. So calling for the coach's head.
It's always happened.
I know. The returning five thing doesn't mean a whole lot unless all of those guys are, like, phenomenal players. And they weren't. I mean,
no, there's
no
gotta offense. Be progression.
Right.
I just didn't see a lot of progression. And then we had some additions.
Frank regressed.
Yeah. And then we had some additions, and some people have had issues and problems with the role changes and the minute changes and just trying to put it all together. It just hasn't been easy with this group this year.
Yeah, I mean, Sidibe came in yesterday. He actually played decent.
I thought so.
You know, and he's played like peanuts from the past like five games. You know what I mean? So it's just freaking weird. I don't know what to say. It's sports, I guess. It's what it comes down to. At DFin01, where were the in-game adjustments? Looking like a team that wants the season to be over. Hope everyone is going to be healthy for the next game. They're referring to Tyus Battle. Well, I hope he's going to be healthy, too, for the next game. Yeah, I was on the phone with Joe, and I said, where were the adjustments to the adjustments? Like, there's nothing. Like Joe said, like you said in the beginning of the show, Joe, I mean, they're running into each other. Like, wait, it looks like a figure eight racing out there. What are they doing? You know?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I just think that the in-your-face, tough, good,
defense.
Man-to-man defensive teams that have the teams. I mean, you have to remember, I mean, they have four seniors out there, four grown-ass men, 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
That are out there D'ing up these guys. And
absolutely.
I think that it's just been proven over the course of the season that the teams that play defense on us like that, and then we don't shoot good. I mean, that's what it's going to look like.
If
another team makes that adjustment, and we don't have the players to make that adjustment. I mean, it comes down to offense. I think we've all seen it. I think our defense yesterday still played good enough to win. It's always been our offense.
Yeah.
Can't get to the hole. We couldn't get to the hole. We couldn't do anything. And then we get stuck just shooting jumpers. And if it's a good defensive team, it's contested jumpers. And if we're not hitting those, then that's what it looks like.
Yeah. So, I mean, they just couldn't get in. I mean, 10 minutes. I think they went 0 for 14 or something like that in that 10 minutes without a bucket.
No one could do anything, man.
It was brutal. It was freaking brutal to watch. Normally, I'm up and yelling at my TV or screaming. I just sat there. I'm just like, you know. I texted Joe at halftime. You like Syracuse being up at the half? But not that that really means anything, but the trends, I follow trends, and that's a trend. So, anyway, at Nick Sweetland 1, I just can't understand this team and season. They play so well at times in games, then just fall apart and look lost. They need to win the first round game in the ACC to be in for sure. Tough way to end the regular season. Hopefully Jim can light a fire under their asses. What do you think about having to win a game to get in? I mean, it would look a whole lot better winning a game in the ACC tournament.
I still think, again, this could all just blow up in our faces because we don't really know.
Oh, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that real quick. Go ahead. You know what I'm talking about.
I mean, just the fact that if we want to look at the bracketologist, and again, I've been talking about the bracketmatrix.com that I go to and check out, and they've currently updated their seating and everything as of yesterday, after I think it was after the games. And right now they currently have us as, I think, the third 9 seed. So, again, I mean, we're in every bracket. And if we want to look at that and go by that measure, then right now it looks like we're safely in. And even if we just lose, if we lose the next game, especially without Tyus Battle, because they will look at that. But if we lose that, I still don't see us falling far enough to, I mean, maybe far enough to get in a, to fall to that 11 line if there's enough upsets in these conference tournaments, but not far enough to fall out of the tournament. And that's what it looks like from what we look at if we want to trust those bracketologists. But again, we've talked about this net ranking and them being a new kind of way to look at things. And we don't know how much work, you know, like you said, they don't know how much, we don't know how much they're going to put into that.
There's the one unknown, which is totally, there's no formula for. And it's like, it's just like with everything, it's done by humans, and we know how humans go. So, and we've talked about the politicking and all this and that, and the concern right. that Coach raised during his press conference, and an article on Syracuse.com that kind of piqued your interest a little bit in the net is that you can have a like really slack non-conference schedule, and yep. the efficiency's rated on that, not on the strength of schedule. It's just rated the efficiency of it, and it boosts you up in the net. So you actually right. you're actually kind of faux on your number. Like at least mm-hmm. with the RPI and stuff like that, strength of schedule, all that stuff's added in.
Yeah. I mean, like, again, we talk about it.
So what's the point of playing a tough non-conference, which is what Syracuse has been trying to do?
Right. Well, they're both flawed in a way, right?
Well, yeah. But
I mean, to give a perfect example, NC State.
Right.
Like, we just don't know where that's going to be, right? A lot of times,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, if you look at bracketmatrix.com, then right now they have NC State is the fourth 11 seed. But okay. NC State's got a better record than us, and NC State beat us head-to-head. And right. when you look at the net, what are we at, 47?
Something like that. I haven't checked it since Clemson.
We're 46. NC State's 32.
Right.
So, and just put this in your mind. So right now you have some people that look at that, and NC State 32 in the net ranking, and that's what we're doing the quadrant system by this year.
Right, yep.
Well, now last year we did it by the RPI, correct?
Yeah, RPI, yeah.
It's okay. So this year, right now, currently in the RPI, NC State's 103.
Right, and their strength of schedule is what?
Well, their non-conference strength of schedule is like in the 350s. There's only a couple. There's 353 Division I basketball
teams. Right, they're like 350. They're like 350, 351.
Right. So it's hard for me to see a team that, again, going by the quadrant system, like we talked about, what are we, 4-0 in quadrant four?
Yeah.
Wins.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you kind of relatively want that to be low, because if you have a lot of quadrant four wins, then it's kind of showing you, you know, the
how many
quadrant system is
right. How
right.
many,
it's supposed to kind of show you how many games against what type of opponents, like what type of game.
And what was NC State's quadrant four record?
Oh, 10-0. So
there
they're
you go.
20. They're 21-10. Half their wins are from quadrant four teams.
That's gonna have to be fixed.
Right, but exactly. So what does the committee go by? Because I mean, when you look at that,
yeah.
But again, that's not every case too, because if you look at a team like us, we're 46 in the net, 41 in RPI. So there's not too much of a difference.
What's our strength of schedule? We were up there. I thought we were like top 10 strength of schedule.
Well, yeah, our strength of schedule is top 15. So we're up there, and that's why we're, in most bracketologists' eyes, ahead of teams like NC State and other teams that might look like they have a better record and they beat us maybe head-to-head.
Yeah, our strength of schedule is 10, by the way, and our RPI is 39.
Okay. So, but you don't know what, at the end of the day, the bracketology, or I'm sorry, the committee's going to do.
Right.
You don't know how much they're going to look into the net, and obviously, I don't see how a team like NC State, who's got one of the worst non-conference records in college basketball, who's got 10 of their 21 wins from quadrant four teams, most of them most likely at home. And they're up in ranked 32nd.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an 8 seed or better. I just don't see, and I'm not just doing this to pick on NC State.
No, they're just the easiest example.
There's other teams up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's other teams up there, right, too. I mean, in the net ranking, St. Mary's of California, they have traditionally not made the tournament because of their non-conference records. But in this net new net ranking, they're 37th. So, again, it's you don't know what they're going to look at, and that's what makes me nervous.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be nervous until I see what happens, I guess, because, I mean, I don't know. I trust that they'll make the right decision, I suppose, is where I come from. But anyway, at if not now, when 84, can we have a second half where we don't completely break down? Refs were atrocious again. We are like, I think we're like lost 6 games where we led at the half so far this year. So that's, you know, it's a good chunk. But what'd you think about the refs, Joe? They let him play. Did you think it was?
No. The problem is when they let people play like that, the more physical team has the upper hand.
Right.
So and they are more smaller.
We're a little bit small too on that end.
Right. So they kind of allowed them to push them a little bit with their body and their shoulders. But then and then we turn around and we're swinging arms trying to block stuff, and you know we're smacking them on the arms and hands and getting little ticky-tack fouls called on you. So, I mean, obviously, when it came to the physicality of bumping people around, moving people around, posting people up, boxing people out, they let that go. But when it came to blocking shots and contesting shots, anything close to smacking around the hands or anything like that, they called. So that kind of gave them a huge, huge advantage because they were letting the players do the things that kind of went to Clemson's strengths.
Right. And they also missed a couple out of bounds calls too. So
They did. I mean, again, they missed a couple here, missed a couple there, but again, we can make excuses all night long.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely not making excuses, but
when our team plays offense like that, then it's just not good. We have to be able to go to, if we're not making outside shots, we have to be able to go to the line and get to the lane. And Tyus Battle couldn't do that. So I don't know if there's problems with hand checks and, you know, the physicality again and just not being able to get in front of them to get to the paint and try to make something happen. But we got to be able to go to the free throw line. And when they play, we've talked about it before, when a team plays all up like that and defense and stuff, like you have to go to the lane, be more physical, and you got to create fouls to get them in trouble and get them off you.
Which is
and
right.
We just never did that yesterday.
Never did it, and that's kind of what we were hoping Brissett would start doing earlier in the year, and it was just
no. I mean, he hit a couple outside shots, and
he did. You know. He played a good game. I'm just saying, in general, that was where we wanted. That's where I wanted to see Brissett. That's why I wanted to see Brissett doing and Tyus. Both of them.
Yeah. Like a game like that, Frank Howard and Tyus Battle should be able to get like 8 to 10 free throws apiece.
Right. Okay. Good point. Exactly. Well, speaking of Frank Howard, at USA Proud 123, it comes down to Howard. He is a senior and not a good year, probably worst year of his career. He has let the team down. Battle can't be expected to do everything every game. Howard has been awful this year. I don't know if it was his sprain or his issue, leg issue or whatever it was. What was that? I forget. I don't even remember anymore.
What's that?
Howard's injury.
Oh, it was his ankle.
Ankle, okay.
He had ankle surgery.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So I don't know if it was his ankle. I don't know what it was. Maybe he's not totally comfortable. Maybe he's trying to not risk re-injuring himself. Or maybe it's just that it's in his head. I don't know. I guess
there's a lot of things that we'll never know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... We could speculate all day long. At the end of the day, just
well, my brother had a bad ankle injury, and I mean, it wasn't like that. I didn't have surgery, but it was enough for him to pretty much
change the way he played. Yeah,
exactly. So,
and that's could be a possibility. Again, I think that it's like you said, it's just been coming down to consistency. Because there's nights where it's like, okay, Brissett's going to be the guy to kind of be. The duo, no one's reliable.
And then it's every game.
Exactly. So you're trying to figure it out. And if Hughes, you go out there, and if Howard's not doing anything, and Hughes ain't doing anything, or Brissett, like, then he's going to throw different people out there. And he threw Sidibe out there because they tried to attack it a different way. Those bigger guys actually played okay in the first half. But again, just the inconsistency of the way you got to look at it is, for instance, when a coach has, when you have something that's locked tight, you're playing good, you know, barring random matchup issues, for the most part, you have your rotations, your roles, and you even kind of know who will play if you're playing a taller team or if you're playing maybe a four guard team, you know, who will play a little bit more. But the basic inconsistency of Boeheim's substitutions should tell you where this team is. He's still trying to search to figure it out. Because one night it's this guy, one night it's this guy, one night it's this guy, one night Battle's not doing anything, and then you're really screwed.
Yeah.
And all he's doing is trying to different combinations, trying different things to try to figure it out. And it seems to just like every once in a while something will click against a team. But it seems like the only thing that they could ever do, even close to consistent, is play defense and keep them in the game.
Yeah, it's the defense is the one consistency, Joe. I agree with that. It's just, I mean, the offense has been consistent too.
They fall apart every once in a while, and sometimes teams find weird ways to be able to attack them. But at the end of the day, the inconsistency of Jim Boeheim's just substitutions should tell you where it's at.
Yeah,
he has no idea who's going to play, how good, what day. Like, it's all different. It's different every day. He doesn't even know what he's going to end up doing.
The only thing consistent about the offense is that they're inconsistent, right?
So, yep.
At Big Chuck 44, this has to be the biggest Enigma team we have ever had. Score 90 at Duke, high 80s in UNC, and can't score 60 against Clemson. I don't get it at all. Yeah, that's
right on board. That's just goes on with exactly what we were just talking about.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
that was not planned. At Scren 14, absolute frustration. Absolute frustration as I've ever had all year. Just seems like no one is responding to Boeheim and his redundant routine and lack of in-game adjustments. This team has not improved at all, and the regression of Frank and O'Shea's play is alarming. It's alarming at this stage of the year. In what we saw yesterday from, Frank Howard all year, but.
Well, it's the inconsistency. It's hard to make adjustments at halftime, and I completely agree with him. As it looks like the other teams.
The other teams are adjusting.
Right. But our thing is Boeheim's adjusting to our team and how they're playing. Who's playing? Who showed up today? Now, what can I do? I mean, that's the first half. Sometimes it looks good, sometimes it doesn't, but. First half is him figuring out who showed up today, who wants to play today, what are we going to do? Like, it's hard to make in game.
Does that worry you?
Of course it worries me. But
I mean, are they going to be able to step this thing up? Are they going to all of a sudden be able to click? Are they all of a sudden going to be able to make a run? Is this going to be a Syracuse team that we're going to be like, oh, you know, it's tournament time. Time to go. Here we go.
The problem is that this kind of stuff happens. I don't understand really how to. Every team is different, but it just seems to me as though the times when we don't think we're going to do anything in the tournament, we actually do.
I know.
And then the times that we actually, think we have a good team and we could make a run, we end up losing in the first or second round.
I know. We lose to Dayton.
Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, look what happened with – we won the national championship 2003. We knew Carmelo Anthony was good, but we weren't expecting it. Then we return a whole bunch of people, and we think we're going to do good. And what, we lose in the Sweet 16. Then we lose to Vermont, and then we lose to Texas A&M in the second round. I mean, we didn't do anything the next 3 years after that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 1996, when we went with John Wallace and them, I mean, we were, I think, a 4 seed, but we weren't expected to make that run. We weren't expected to make the run a couple years back when we went to the Final Four.
Oh no, absolutely not. So I mean, it's been that.
And then you have the Ennis year. What did we do that year?
Nothing. We lost to Dayton. Wasn't that when we lost to Dayton?
I think so.
Yeah.
And we were 25-0.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. The bottom line is when it gets to
that was the second round too, but our second game, Dayton.
Back against the wall. They tend to show up, and we do have the talent. Who knows? We might. But the most opportune time, we might clicking.
Maybe, like Nick said, maybe Jim Boeheim can light a fire under him. We're just gonna have to see. But all we can do now is talk about what we see now, and what we see now stinks. Steven says bad loss. Yes, Clemson needed it more for the big dance chances. But these guys need to get back on track and failed too many hub mistakes. Head up butt. He put that in there. Rapidly becoming, if you can contain Tyus, others rarely step up. Well, Brissett stepped up yesterday, but I get it. If they can focus their attention on one guy, a lot of times that's all they need, and that's enough to win. And it's been certainly been the case for like some of the ranked teams that we played recently. And you know, like for instance UVA, how they just snuffed him, you know, at halftime when they swapped that around. So, yeah, definitely. Alex says, look. So here's the deal. I think we've had Joe's cousin on fan feedback. We've had Joe's mom on fan feedback. We've had Joe's dad on fan feedback. Now we got one of his brothers. When's Wes getting in on the action, Joe?
No, you know him. Never.
Alex.
Yeah, he's already been on the show in the background.
That's true. That's true. That's more we could say for Alex. Alex says, refs basically benched Elijah, but he played well, and we were still in it, even with Battle getting shut down. Poor performance, but Clemson needed that win. What do you say to your brother?
Well, I talked to him last night, so he knows what I think. Okay. So I think that considering, I mean, we need Elijah Hughes to score. We need some points from Frank Howard. Yeah. We need that kind of stuff, and that's what we missed yesterday. So again, we just need a little bit of everything.
Hughes, like I said, five games with double digits and just zero yesterday. So.
Yeah.
Matthew says, does not seem to be any second half adjustments. There that is again. Teams are running basic vanilla offense in the first and then picking us apart in the second. I mean, yeah, I think the defense has been good. And when we've been able to go in the locker room with leads and we've been able to score, they come out and whoever's got the hot hand, they tend to their defense, that heavy man defense, we struggle.
And again, and I'll say it over and over again, when you play against defenses like that, all five players on your team need to be a threat to be able to score. Otherwise, you're going to struggle. And you're going to have to shoot lights out or have somebody just play amazing. And it's happened a couple times, but more times than not, when we play teams like that, and we have certain guys struggle, or we don't have all five guys being able to do something, then that's what you see.
One more, real quick. I just saw this one.
Yep.
What would our record be if games were 20 minutes? Well, it's irrelevant, but he goes on. It might be time for Jimmy to hang it up. After 2 years without Hopkins, our offense has sucked. Any, you know how I feel about Mike Hopkins. I love that guy. Do you think there's any truth to that? About Mike Hopkins, you know, not being there to coach some of these, especially the big guys, through some of this stuff.
There could definitely be a truth to that. Yeah, I mean, if the bench coaches that we have right now were good enough to coach Washington, then they'd have a job being a head coach somewhere. So,
true.
you know, or if they were good enough to be a head coach, it just proves what kind of coach we had on our sideline. So obviously, you have any type of assistant coach like that that's with you, that's always going to be a plus because it's essentially a second head coach. So obviously, if you lose a guy like that, then it's going to affect your team, no doubt.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I'm buying into that, Jake. I'm buying into at least the last half of your statement there. All right, well, that's it for fan feedback. Y'all know where to go. Go to @QSmilitia on Facebook and Twitter, and I always provoke your thoughts. Get there and leave something for us, and we'll see if you get on. All right, Joe. So the ACC tournament is going to start up when? I guess it starts up Tuesday, right?
Yes, sir.
And we do not have to play Tuesday, but we will have to play Wednesday, and we're going to be playing the winner of Syracuse is a sixth seed, by the way, and we're going to have to play the winner of the Pitt-Boston College game, and our game will be tipping off after 9 o'clock, which is just fantastic. And our next game, if we win, will also tip off after 9 o'clock. And our next game, if we win that, will also tip off after 9 o'clock. So, there we go.
At least the third time, if we did get there, that would mean it would be a Friday night. We'd be in the semifinals, and we would have beaten Duke. So
that's true. That's absolutely.
But yeah,
true.
That's just it's brutal. Obviously, I'm not going to sit there and root one way or another for between a 6 or 7. I mean, you want to be a little bit higher, but I'm not going to lie. Looking at the teams that they're playing and where they are and the time of the games, I probably would have taken where Louisville is over us right now.
Just Boston. Yeah. You know? Well, I'd rather be where Virginia Tech is. I'd rather be right there. Oh, you're saying if you were to go down, you'd rather
be, yeah. I mean, yeah, we didn't have a chance to catch Virginia
right.
Tech.
No,
I
that's
mean, it
true.
Was between us and Louisville, so.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's just looking at it I know that Georgia Tech beat us earlier in the year, but being a 7 seed right there, I mean, I'd rather get a shot at North Carolina. I think Zion's going to be back for that Duke game. So Duke's going to be 100% healthy, which they haven't been either of the two times we've played them this year. So, and again, you have Boston College and Pitt who they're 11 and the 14 seed, and we beat them 2 times this year. So it's not easy to beat a team 3 times.
No,
so,
it's not easy.
Of course, we don't even know how battle it's going to be, and 9 o'clock.
Well, so we're gonna have to play Pitt or Boston College. Which one would you rather play? That's a tough call, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. It really, really is.
It's a toss up for me, to be honest. I guess Pitt, maybe if I had to put.
I'd go Pitt.
Yeah. Right. So. Well, if we win that game, if you don't already know, if we win that game, you heard Joe earlier, then we get to play Duke again. And, you know, they're going to be healthy, the whole team.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough, dude.
Yeah. Again, I don't put too much. And it's awesome. Always awesome to go into a little run in the tournament like that. But, you know, there's been times where I've seen teams make those runs, play 3 or 4 nights in a row, and it kind of wears them out for the NCAA tournament. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about them. I mean, again, they're always fun. You always want to play every night if you can in a tournament like this. You know, you look forward to it. I'd love to be able to play 9 p.m. on a Friday night. But realistically, I don't know how that's looking, especially. I just care about battle getting healthy and really just – winning this first game so that we can just kind of, to me, that would just take away all doubt, realistically. It's not that it'd be a good game or a big win. It's just getting that one more win, get the first win, and then go and play Duke again and just padding that strength of schedule. So,
yeah, I mean, the one win would be nice. And if we get that one win, we have to play Duke. So I really, you know, that's going to be a game where I want that game. I want that game bad.
Oh, of course we'd want it.
I want that game really bad. But
yeah.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be a different Duke team that we've seen both times this year. So anyway, as far as the podcast goes, are anything to do with the show coming back? If Syracuse wins, we will not be back. If they win their first game, we're not going to be back basically until they lose. And we're going to have to figure out where we sit. And then, at the end of this, a week from today is Selection Sunday, and we can come back, after that as well and talk about that. So just be on the lookout. You know, the show goes as the way Syracuse goes. So
yeah.
We'll just have to wait and see. And if we can squeeze something in at some point, then we will. But, you know, it's tough doing a show that's recorded, you know, when the team's playing every night.
And just to be clear, too, those 9 o'clock games when it comes to, Wednesday night and if we win Thursday night, I know they say 9 p.m., but essentially as those games go, they're at the same court. So there's going to be a game ahead of it. It starts at 7. So, I mean, technically it's half an hour after the game before it ends. So, you know, you get a Louisville Georgia Tech matchup that goes into overtime.
Yeah, it could be 10 o'clock.
It could be 9. It could be 9:30 or later. So.
I think it's going to be close to 9:30 to begin with, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, that was one thing I thought about was what happens if, like, you know, because you got me thinking about that Syracuse UConn 6 overtime, and it's like, What if the six overtime game was like, it wasn't the 9 o'clock game, it was the 7 o'clock game?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Imagine? Like, imagine if that had happened and then they still had to play like the game after, and it would have been like.
Yeah, so if it was a 7 o'clock game, it would have ended at almost 11 and the other team would have started.
Had to have played at midnight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, that's like pretty funny.
Yeah, like 11:30 midnight, something like that.
And that game
yeah.
didn't tip off till like 9:26, just so you know. So that's about what we're looking at, 9:30, if everything rolls smooth. So,
most likely, yep.
So, all right, well, that is it for us. And we will get back here when we can get back. And as soon as we can get back, be on the lookout Tuesday for another episode to drop, a little Q-Story episode with me and Joe. Until then, we'll see you guys later. I want to thank Tick Splits, Armchair All-Americans, James on guitar, all the regulars, my bookie, JP Mulligans. You know the deal with JP Mulligans. Go there. You go there, watch the tourney, dollar off the bats during the SU game. Hit it up. Grab some wings. Check it out. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.